We are in what I believe to be a landmark time in the history of our church. We have been here in the earth for 5 years. And I want you to look around and see what God has done and brought the people and who the people are that God's brought in your life. And let's give them a great hand clap because they're important people. We have VIPs in here. VIPs, every one of you. Today, I want to share with you what it means to be in unity. I think it's very important that we understand that love and unity cannot be divided. Love and unity cannot be separated. The fact is that God is love. Everything we do, Paul made it very clear to you and I that though I speak with the tongues of angels, I can speak in tongues all day long, blah, 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 blah. But if I have not love, man, it's like brass in God's ear. Yeah, you have a gift, but God can't see or hear the gift because he's not looking for what you can give. He's looking for you to be something. When you're the right inside, you will produce the right outside. Somebody say amen. Amen. You know, you can look at a tree sometimes, and in a particular tree, there's a fungus in the root, and you see that it comes out in the fruit. Ladies and gentlemen, God made it very clear to you and I that he is love, his power that comes out when he looked across the multitude, 5,000 people that were hungry on the side of a hill, not including the wives and the children. Could you imagine? That's 15,000 if they just had one wife and one child. He was undaunted by the numbers. Undaunted. To believe that I can impact all these people. And what did he do? He didn't look at what he didn't have. He asked the real question that each of us must ask to be a life changer in this world. What do I have in my hands? He said to the disciples, he said, what do we have? And Philip being sarcastic, you know, you always got one of the sarcastic ones in the group, right? Remember? You always got to be at something smart, right? And Philip says, all we have is this little lunch bag. It's greasy, and the boy has nothing in there but fish and a couple of loaves of bread. That's all we got. Now let me ask you a question. Will Jesus ever turn away what you have? Oh, you didn't sound like you believed it. Will Jesus ever turn away what you have? Let me make it very clear. You plus God is always enough. Let me say that again. You plus God is always enough. That little boy thought he was bringing food just to eat for himself. He walked out. One thing that little boy was to hear from Jesus. When you have a heart's desire just to come before him, not to be important, not to be heard, not to be seen, but purely, I love him. I want him. I want to be with him. I want to be in unity with God himself. God, look at you and look at all things that you call little in your life. And then he would say, let me put my hands on it. And he took those two loaves, five fishes, and he blessed it. What he did was, he didn't do anything supernatural more than I could do. All he did was bless it. When they went to pull it out of the basket, they kept pulling and pulling and pulling and pulling and pulling and pulling and pulling. Let me ask you a question. Are you willing to give what you have to the Lord? There's a song that used to be sung, little becomes much, we place it in the master's hands. Unity is about having love. Jesus had great love for the crowd, and out of that love, the miracles erupted in his life. He saw people fed, over 15,000 people right there on the spot, fed because of his love. And why did he have that? Because the Bible says it is love. In this series, in order for the church to be the church, we have to get beyond who's telling us what's right. or y'all missed it. You know, there are certain people we won't listen to. You know, when we were, how many were great kids when you were coming up? We got three, okay. How many were struggling coming up? Let's just say that. How many were gave your parents a headache? Amen? Oh, you just, some of y'all still lying to this day. How many of y'all were rough coming up? Come on, let me see your hands. Amen. Look around because I'm taking a record. I don't want y'all to mess with nothing. When you came up, what in the world did your parents do with knuckleheads like us? They loved us until we came to our senses. He was a real bad one. Or it hasn't happened yet, one of the two. Okay. But why would they do that? Because they love us, and love is the foundation for everything else. In order for our church to be what we need to be, we need to love one another. We shouldn't care who tells us what's right. We need to listen to what's right. I don't care if it comes out of a donkey. Y'all didn't hear me. I don't care if it comes out of a dog, a donkey, or a grasshopper. If they say the right thing, I'm listening. We need to be a people who love the truth so much, we don't care to say to a person, well, you're not over me, so I don't listen to you. Well, you're not Pastor Steve, so don't tell me nothing. You out of your lane, get back in your lane. Who owns the highway? God. You talking about your lane? Nobody owns the lanes. We have to be so willing to love one another that we can take rebuke. I'm talking about you. That was right on time. Listen now. Watch me. The Bible says that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It'll cut you both ways, right? All right? You can give it and you get cut if you handle it wrong, right? But the Bible says it is good for instruction, correction, rebuke, and instruction and doctrine. But most of us can take the instruction and doctrine. And maybe on a good day, we could take some correction. But don't you dare rebuke me. Rebuke means that the person rebuking you loves you enough to not let you go. You know, if a person doesn't care, they'll never tell you what's right. But the Bible says the wounds of a friend are faithful. And sometimes we separate and we don't have unity because we don't know how to take correction or rebuke. And we say, you know what? Church is supposed to make me happy. No, church is to make you holy. Can I get an amen from one person? Just an uno, one person, uno. The role of the church is to help you reach your full potential. And sometimes we are knuckleheads. And we want to do it our way. So God in his infinite love places you around people that love you. And when they love on you to either correct, rebuke, or instruction in righteousness, is to bring unity to the body. We've got to love each other enough not to turn the blind eye to what's wrong. How many of us have seen something going wrong and we hold our peace until the other person breaks into pieces? Do you not know that you are designed by God to be life to someone else? He said very clearly that you're a city set on a hill. You can't be hid. Never hold back what you have for somebody else. You're a candle. You can't put it under a bushel. No, you can't. You must love one another. Unity cannot be separated from love. In order for us to experience the presence of God, we have to be unified. Let me show you something. Go to the book of Acts, chapter 2. Why don't you go to Book of Acts chapter 2? And this series is called The Key to God's Presence is Unity. The key to God's presence is unity. Acts chapter 2, we'll start at verse 1. And here's what it says. On the day of Pentecost, everyone read. Read next verse. Amen. Read on. Next verse. Next verse. Now I want to show you something. I want you to go to the King James Version of the same verse. Chapter 2, verse 1. And I want to show you what the instructions were. And as we get ready to do this, I want you to take down our thought for today. Our thought for today is very important. Would you put it up on the screen for our guests, what our thought for today is? Amen. While you were going to Acts chapter 2. When we honor authority, God's presence will honor us. Listen to that. When we honor authority, God's presence will honor us. Well, Pastor Steve, you had me to right there. Because I grew up in church where people abused authority. I saw people manipulate people. You know, maybe your father wasn't the best example of authority. Maybe you had a run-in with a police officer that scarred you in some way. Maybe you were hurt sometime in your life and you don't trust authority figures anymore. And when you come to God, you have this wall around you because you believe that people in authority might hurt you. But I want you to do something for me. I want you to unclench your hands. I want you to relax. God is the one person you can trust. If you got to put your trust out one more time, put your money on Jesus. I could tell you the day I gave my life to Christ. I grew up in a broken home. I used to think my testimony was I was in a gang and I fought all the time and I was angry and I was able to fight all the time. But my real testimony is this, that I grew up in a broken home. And because my life was broken and I didn't have friends, I found friendship in gangs. But I rebuked all authority. Couldn't trust them. They always put me on detention. And I remember the day I went to church for the first time. I grew up Catholic all my life. Didn't know you had to get saved. Didn't know you had to confess Christ. So I went to one church for the first time in my life. I went to a Baptist church. What a dip into a culture. And I was in that church, and the man did something I've never heard before. It was an altar call. And he said, listen, if you want the Lord Jesus to save you, come down the altar on the count of three. You know, I remember sitting in that chair, and I don't know about you, but it was that moment where I knew God was in the room. You know, it was just like everything in my body began to shake, and I'm thinking, no, I just got away from home, I'm on my own, no, I haven't lived life yet, no, I don't want to do this. And I'm shaking, and I grab the chair, and I'm like, no. And I'm here in church having an argument with God that I didn't believe in. And then the guy counts to three, and I said to God, no. And when three was done, he stopped bothering me. Did you hear what I said? And something in that moment told me I just let go of the greatest thing in my life. He didn't want my money. He didn't want my clothes. He didn't want my reputation. He wanted me. Can I say to those of you in this room, God doesn't want anything you own. Cattle on a thousand hills is his. He doesn't care about your reputation. He's not worried about, you know, you can be influential. You could help the church. He doesn't care about that. Well, you've got great skill. You can play up and down the keyboard. He doesn't care about that. What he cares about, does he have your heart? He wants you. And when he gets a hold of you, it'll change your life. I remember saying to God, if you give me one more week, just let me make it. I thought you could only get saved on Sundays. So in my mind, I went home and I locked the door. I just knew like a plane was going to crash into my apartment and take me out. So I wouldn't go outside. I figured if I crossed the road, a truck would hit me. Not going to happen. I was indoors for a week. Sunday morning came, I creeped out the door, put my only suit on I had from high school, got in the car with a bunch of friends, went to a Methodist church. And when I sat in the back of the church, the guy starts giving what we know now as an altar call, a chance to come to Jesus. And when he got to the part, I don't even know what his sermon was. I was waiting because I just knew a big Mack truck was coming out of the back of that place coming to get me. Come on, man, get through the sermon. Get to that spot. And when he says, if anybody wants the Lord, I was gone. I think I hit an old lady, but I just kept moving. Got to the front, was jumping up. Thank you, thank you. And they thought I wanted to join the church, but they didn't understand that I wanted to join him. My goodness, when you don't think about the building and you think about the man who is the head of the church, join in the battle with him. Join in the journey with him. Join. Oh, you will find adventure that you have never seen before. You'll see things, hear things, do things, and you're like, man, I didn't know this stuff was possible. It's possible. Why? Because he and I were in unity. And because I listened to the authority figure that said, come. In that moment, my life changed forever. In his house, God can help you. Now, I'm not saying every church is right and everyone is perfect, because church is not for the perfect. Could the real perfect person please stand up? Because you can preach this message better than me. But it's for those who are sick and need God's help until we get strong enough to turn around and help somebody else. So I say unto you that when I make that decision and when you make that decision, God will begin to work and chip off those things in your life that's holding you back, because he wants to be in unity with you. I want to show you what he said to the disciples. When you look back in the King James Version at chapter 2, verse 1, I want you to look at it, and I want you to see what it says in that version. Would you all read it for me, please? Okay, all in what? What does that mean to be in one accord? That's unity. Let me tell you what. They were in one accord, and they were waiting on God. That means nobody had an agenda. Nobody had an agenda but the agenda that was laid out. Well, where did that come from? What in the world would draw 120 people into an upper room? I want you to go to Acts chapter 1, verse 4. I want to show you, because it is very vital for all of us to understand that although we may have been hurt, God still has authority. And that authority is there to help us experience his presence. Look what it says. And being assembled together with them, here's what Jesus did. Jesus commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. But what? Wait. Wait a minute. How many enjoy the word wait? How many times in our life when God told us don't, we did? And how many times did it not work out? A lot? Anybody have that happen to? God said, wait, no, God, this is perfect. Look, I asked you, I prayed about it. You answered, I'm thinking this is you. I'm going to go do it. Oh, and it breaks down. No, you got to wait on him. And sometimes God's answer is not yes or no, but wait. God hasn't answered me yet. Wait. God never answers me. Wait. God, when? Wait. And look what they did. Jesus gave them a command, authority over the church, said, listen, I want you to wait for the promise of the Father, which you've heard from me. And he tells them the benefit of waiting. Go down, and I want you to go to the next verse, down in verse 7. I want you to see what he wants you to do. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. Sometimes we want to know what, God, what do you want me to do? When? Tell me the time. Hold on. Just wait. Be submitted to God. Don't move until he says move. And if you are not at peace in your heart, don't do it. Oh, come on, somebody. Let me tell you something. This will change your life. If you're about to make a decision in your life and your heart is not at peace, do not do it. Listen to me, because that's God. Listen, the scripture said it is he that worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure, meaning God's inside of you and he's moving you to do things. And if that peace is not there, then he is not at peace with it either. Wait. And here's what he said. It is not for you to know the times and the seasons, but watch this. I love what he says in verse 8. I want you to all read it, please. Wow. His plan is to use you. But sometimes he can't use us until we wait on him. We're so easy to run out and just do things on our own and God clean up the mess. But what the Lord is saying to us is that in order for us to be on one accord, we all have to say, God, I'm waiting on you. If that means coming to the church at 12 o'clock, some of you should come here at 12 noon and pray. Some of you can put away a sandwich, put away a Big Mac. Well, don't do that. Put away chicken nuggets and come and lay out before the altar and say, God, I'm waiting on you for clarity. Use me. God will answer you. He will take you up into his hands. You can trust this authority figure. If you just say, God, I want what you have for my life. He said to the disciples, go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then I'm going to send you around the world. And just wait until you be endued with power from on high. By submitting to that authority, the presence of God came upon them. Do you hear what I'm saying? See, in order to receive the presence of the Almighty God, Jesus said the Holy Spirit is given to them that obey him. We all must submit ourselves to somebody. And I'm adjuring you, submit your souls to him. That means let his agenda determine your agenda. When we submit ourselves to the authority of Jesus, that's what it means to make him the Lord of your life. That means that whatever he says do, we do. And he always does it better than we would. Have you ever fought for somebody? I remember growing up, and we've all done it. You know, you're like, God, is she my wife? Is she my wife, God? Would you give me a sign, God? And then you see a bird pass. Oh, there it is. A bird pass right when I prayed it. That's got to be my wife. Oh, you know you did it like me. Or we go, well, God sent somebody to you and go, hey, darling, you just need to relax and wait on the right man. God said, I really believe you just need to finish school and do what you're supposed to do. And you don't want to hear wait. So you say, God, I don't think I heard that. God, could you say it again? Tell me again, God. And then God says it again. You go, well, maybe I didn't hear that right either. Come on, tell me again. And we ask for all these signs. But the thing is that God will try to tell us ahead of time what is right and what is wrong. But we must be willing to submit to what we hear. And sometimes what God has done is created something beautiful. And what he has created is the local church. Now, let's define that so that we understand and all be on the same page. The local church is unique. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Because we want to know what God's plan is for the church. Is church a building? Is church, you know, a program? What is church? What is church? It says this. Don't you realize, in a New Living Translation, please, and 1 Corinthians 3 and 16, it says, let me tell you something. Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God lives in you. All of you together. Can I say that again? All of you together. Say it like this, all of us. All of us together. There's not one person in this room that's not meant to be here. Oh, you can give God a hand clap for that one. Every one of us belong to each other. There are gifts and talents in this room that maybe somebody on this side can help somebody on that side. Or the middle can help everybody. We are one in unity as a church. But we have to understand that we all house the Spirit of God. God does not have a respect of persons. Go to verse 17 and watch this. The Spirit of God lives in you. And then it says, but God will destroy anyone who destroys this temple. But God's temple is what? And you are the church. You. So then where do we go from here? How do we know what Jesus wants us to do? If we are the church and not the building, and maybe all our lives we've gone to church and we thought church was simply sitting in a service on Sunday and listening to the preacher and then going home and wondering, was that a good sermon or not? Instead of listening for the truth will make you free. No. Hear me now. You can be broken and have addictions and you can have all kinds of stuff, but the truth will make you free. Meaning you ain't got a choice in the matter. You just got to get more truth in you and it will break every bondage in your life. But God said, I created the church, which is the pillar of truth. He says, when you gather together in my name, I will let truth fall down into the world. And as people come and hear, bondage is broken off of their life. Freedom in the Spirit begins to happen. Strength in the Holy Spirit begins to take place. Why? Because we are one. We have obeyed him and we come together under his Spirit like the 120 in the upper room. And when you come to church looking for his Spirit, oh, listen to me. What if every Sunday you come to church saying, God, I want to see you do something I've never seen before? Who would be willing to do that for me? Come on, that's a roller coaster ride, ain't that? Man, let's do this for next Sunday. How about that? We just say, God, when we come to church, do something we've never seen before. Can we all pray that for next week? Because we are the church. We house his presence. And God comes in our services when we are one and we are meeting in the same place for the same results. Why are you here? Why did you come? Why are you in this church? I didn't invite you. You're looking for something. You need something. You want something. You know, our vision for our church is to establish the largest multicultural church that reaches the lost, serves our community, and experiences the presence of God together. Come on, somebody. Together. Man, don't you want a testimony? Who wants a testimony? It ain't no fun if one person has all the testimonies. I've been praying, God, give us together a testimony. We're walking out of church. Oh, my God, did you see that? Yes, I saw it too. Woo! I don't want it to just happen to me. I, with all my soul and being, want us to be one in the spirit, one in the body, so that you can experience the presence of God together in unity. But I said earlier, unity cannot be separated from love. I don't want his hand. I want his heart. Don't give me God's hand. Give me his heart. Because if I can capture his heart, I can get whatever's in his hand. Come on now. Some of y'all guys up in here, you know when that woman captured your heart. Man, she got all what was in your hand. And you borrowed to get some more. Look at the ladies laughing the most. That ain't even funny. You ought to be ashamed of yourselves. So how does it work that if God says for this body of believers, and I mean body, meaning you, that our vision is to reach the lost, serve our community, and that we, when we gather together, would experience the presence of God together in unity. But here's the reality that we must understand. Where are we going? How do we know where to go? What's the purpose? You know our mission. Does anybody know the mission of our church? And if you don't, I want to tell you. The mission of our church is to lead people to discover their full potential and impact the world. You realize you are at a church that's not asking you to help us, but we're asking, well, can you let us help you? I want you to reach your full potential. But we all have to be in unity. Ladies and gentlemen, as we look into this word, I need to tell you about something. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to give you a truth about how this body comes together. Go to Ephesians 4, and we're going to start at verse 8. Start at verse 8. I want to tell you what Jesus did for us to create unity among us. Verse 8 says this. This is why the scriptures say, when he, Jesus, ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. When he went into heaven, he gave gifts to the local body. Now watch this. Verse 11. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to us. Number one, the apostles. Apostles. Men who are truth standard bearers in the body of Christ. Number two, the prophets. Yes, it still happens today. God's power can't be diminished by time. He's not defined by time. He lives outside of time. Time doesn't do anything but document his glory. Come on, somebody. It only documents what he does. That's why time was created. On the first day, God did this. On the second day, God did that. It's all about him. But watch this. He gave prophets and the evangelists and the pastors and teachers. Why would he do this? Why would he do this? Why would he put me in this place? Why would I be here? Why am I doing this? I want to show you. Go to verse 12. Their responsibility, or my responsibility, is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body. My role, I don't want your money. I'm not after that. Please trust me on that. I'm not after your influence, but I am after your heart. I really am. I want you to reach your full potential. I want you to be so overjoyed because you're walking in the will of God. And only then, when you walk in the will of God, can you really be happy. I don't know about you, but I want to walk in the will. I want to know why I'm here on this earth. I want to know, God, what can I do if you and me join up? And I want you to look at the last one. What is the purpose of having a leader in your church? Go to verse 13. Verse 13. Watch this. This will continue until we all come to such what? Say it again. In our faith and knowledge of God's Son, so that we will be what? Mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. The reason you are here is so that you would walk in the knowledge of who he is and mature as a believer, so that you can measure up to the full, complete standard of Jesus. In other words, you're not here to stay, to always remain a baby. Let me say it again. You are not always going to be a baby. You're going to have to grow up and take the Pampers off, put on some underoos, Batman preferably, and you're going to have to walk on your own 2 feet. And then the day will come when you got teeth in your mouth. You're going to have to not just drink the milk anymore of the word, but you're going to have to start eating some meat. You're going to have to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God wants you to grow up. But grow up to look like who? Your pastor? No. Your father? No. Jesus. Ah. I don't know about you, but I will submit to authority. I have in church, my pastors, I submit it to them because their job, let me tell you something about pastors. I'm not just saying that about me. But they are gifts to the world. And what it means by that is that God has to take them through a series of trials and sufferings and pain and hurts and sorrows so that they're able to understand your pain, your hurt, and your sorrow. So even if you meet a pastor who's made a mistake, please honor that person, love on that person, because they went through a whole lot to get to the point to be even a pastor to bless you. And the enemy just had one day and he lost it all. No, God looks at the value that he poured into that person. Ladies and gentlemen, God will put a pastor over a church so that you can walk in your full potential, but you must be unified. You must be obedient. You must submit to authority so that when God says, here's where we're going, you're able to move. As I close, let me say this because it'll be the opening of my next sermon and what I need to tell you. Very important that you understand what God's plan is, that there is a difference between loyalty and unity. Write that down, please. It's the last thing I want you to remember. And I speak this to all my leaders, all my friends, all my guests here today. There is a difference between loyalty and unity. Loyalty is good, but it is the immature form of unity. Loyalty says, I'm loyal to you. I'll do what you say. But when they tell me to do it, I'm not going to do it because I'm loyal to you. Loyalty says that, hey, I love the youth pastor, but if I move that youth pastor over to another office and change his title, those people loyal to him will leave the church because they had loyalty but not unity. Unity is about the vision. Unity is looking to Christ so that any changes in loyalty won't stop you from moving into your purpose. You can't let loyalties keep you from unity. Loyalty is good. And I found people that are loyal, man, they'll buy me clothes, shoes. They'll do all that. Hey, let me pick up your kids. Let me take you someplace. They'll do all those things. But the moment your relationship changes with them, adios. Because they were loyal to a person and not unified by the vision. Listen to me. I need to be upfront with you. You do not please me if you are loyal to me, but you are not unified in the vision. So if another leader tells you to do the right thing, you ain't listening because you're only loyal to me. You have disappointed me because this church is not about me. It's about you and Jesus. So we can't fight. We have to be unified. If someone asks you to pray, pray. If somebody asks you to teach, teach. If somebody says to you, hey, would you just come with me? Then you go with them. We have to be there for each other, and we can't be loyal to one thing. Loyalty will hurt me. Loyalty hurts when it's not mature. It's the beginning stage, but unity will always say, Pastor, here's the vision of our church. Whatever you ask me to do, I'm game. Because I'm not loyal to any program. So if we cut your program, will you leave the church? How many have seen that kind of stuff happen? How many? Oh, my God, it's ridiculous. If you don't do my program, I'm gone. You know what I say? I got bus tokens. Not even a taxi. I'll give him a bus token. Let him think about it. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to get unified. So the first way that starts as we get ready to close is this. We have to love one another. Can I say it again? We have to love our neighbor. We have to love our neighbor. Cliques don't belong in the church. They don't. How many in the back would love a hug from somebody in the front? You never know what people go through. Look at all these hands up here. People want a hug. Put your hand back up here. You want a hug. Those people want hugs. There we go. Somebody went ahead and hugged them. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. So as we close the day, this unity message is what God says will bring his presence to this house. And when his presence comes, good God Almighty, there will be such an open heaven. If diseases have the audacity to walk in this place, they will burn at the door. Demons won't even have to come out because they won't be able to walk on the property. When we are unified, we won't have to worry about finances because people will pour it on the altar because they don't care anymore about that. They care about Jesus. We must be unified, and then we will win men, women, and children to the King of Glory, and we all will stand together in robes of white, unified, praising the King of Glory. Could somebody give him a great hand clap of praise? We must do this. We're together. Together. Listen to me. Together. Forever. When I die, I'll see you there. Come on. So, you want to please me? This is what I ask. And I ask you to submit to authority. First thing, don't leave this building without turning to five people that you may have never met and telling them that you love them. Have unfeigned love. Oh, the beauty of it. Because you just don't know who needs to hear it from you. Can you do that for me? if you will, do that for me. Stand to your feet. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much.